B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I always root for the millionaires against the billionaires, like NFL players who don't have guarantees in their contracts. And when they get hurt, they're kicked to the curb. But man, you can find yourself becoming unlikable when you start bitching about not having enough millions because some other professional athlete has more millions than you do, that you only got $45 million guaranteed. You do. You start walking down a path that can make yourself unlikable to the average fan when you pretty much have the sympathy of the average NFL fan for not having the guarantees, for the fan who actually does feel bad for NFL players when they suffer injuries, sometimes career ending, when you're on a rookie deal and you didn't have the security that other athletes get in other sports. Right. You've got those sympathies already. You can ruin that by saying things like this.
Oh, yeah.
You can. So walk that fine line, NFL players. Watch what you do here between now and then, ex-CBA. Because for the most part, you've got the fans on your side, I think.
Be much better off speaking, even if they don't ask you to, speaking on behalf of other players who don't have that, who have zero guarantees at all, right? Lucky to make a roster, going to go out there and, you know, put their bodies on the line for a chance to make the squad or maybe get that deal with no incentives in there, no guarantees, making short money. You know, speak on behalf of those guys. But for a player like Gurley to talk about it in, like, first person, no. That's going to fall on deaf ears.
Like, poor me, right? You'd have so much more respect if you said, well, it's not about guys like me. I got a lot of guaranteed money. I'm more concerned about younger players that don't get any guarantees.
Right.
That are at risk of not having any money if they are to come into the league and have a career shortened. And that's what it really should be about.
Yes.
And that's what these guys should be focused on. And I don't think they are. And so you can already sort of see what the argument will be next time around and how there's too many guys in the room and too many different, I guess, needs or desires in that group of players that it'll end up being too many different directions that they want to go, and they won't be able to get on the same page, and the NFL will hammer them and win again. There's no doubt in my mind. They'll lose again because they always do. They lost 9 years ago now?
Yeah.
And they'll lose
again. And they're not willing to pull the trigger on the nuclear option,
which is go home, save some money.
Fine, we won't play.
And not play for just, a game. Sit out for a game and prove to everybody that you are willing.
Serious.
To be serious and try and really stick it to the league just for a game, even 1 week, I think you will get some people's attention with a single game check that you are willing to miss. But to this point, you have not been willing to do that in really this modern era of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since you've been willing to do that.
No, the reason he's talking in this interview is because he's not practicing, because they don't have practice anymore.
Right, because the last time around, you negotiated out practice time. You were, right?
You're too busy about too many padded practices, too busy worrying about that, and not worried about getting real contracts that benefit both parties.
You couldn't get a raise, so what you did was you just took away all your practice time.
Mm-hmm. Work less instead of make more.
Yeah, we will make the same, but we will work less. That's what they were able to do the last time around. That's why he's home. That's why he's home doing interviews with Bleacher Report.
So in a way, you won.
Congratulations. Hope you're enjoying yourself. Hope you're having a fun vacation. It's Todd Gurley. Meanwhile, speaking of labor issues, NFL referees. There was a plan in place to make referees full-time, at least some refs full-time in the NFL. Remember how that started a year ago? The league has put that on the shelf as part of ongoing labor discussions with the NFL Referees Association.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This means that NFL officials will revert to being part-time employees, which, as Mike Florio writes, which presumably stinks for those NFL officials who had become full-time employees and in turn had given up their other gigs and other jobs.
These guys were lawyers. These guys, you know, worked in banks. These guys had, you know, decent gigs that afforded them the luxury of traveling and being away for a couple few days a week, mostly on the weekends.
So you know how we always say, oh, you know, the refs stink, and but everyone complains about refs all the time. That's just a common thing we do. We complain about officiating in the NFL. Do you remember how bad the officiating got when they didn't have their guys?
Oh. The two guys with the opposite calls in the end zone in the Seahawks game.
I don't know why, but I just had an image of the robot umpires when you said that.
Do you remember how bad it got? It only got worse. I mean, I know that, listen, we do plenty of complaining about officials, and they have a hard job. They do. I'm sorry. It's hard keeping up with the speed of the game in the NFL. And there are some guys, Pete Morelli comes to mind. You see, robots come to mind in Jim's head. Chatterbox there, and by chattering I mean his jaw literally chatters when it's cold outside. Pete Morelli, he comes to mind as like a guy who probably needs to give it up soon in the NFL. Old guy ref Pete Morelli. We often say, what are these people doing officiating games? But when they went to the replacement refs, it only got worse. It was bad. They needed to bring back their regular guys, and so that was because of a labor issue. Well, I got news for you. This is the final year of the contract between the NFL and their refs. So we're heading down that road again, by the way. Their deal is up.
That'll be fun.
We could have another ref labor stoppage.
Yeah.
The NFL's not bitching in the media like Todd Gurley. They're taking action right now.
Yeah, of course, because that's what the NFL does. Because the NFL will just hammer anybody and everybody. So this is a maneuver. This is action. This is them messing with their officials. They've put the full-time program on the shelf. Does the NFL take anything seriously? Do they care about anything? Like, oh, we worked for years and talked about for years having full-time refs and having them fully committed to really understanding and spending full-time hours, really knowing the, and I'm telling you, the rule book of the NFL is intricate, and it is very deep. And not only were those refs going to be sort of the leaders of the crews, but they were going to be the ones that would help fully train everyone else. And they were going to, you know, really be full-time and really fully invested in it. You would think that with legalized gambling becoming as widespread as it would become, that this could be a good time to really reinforce sort of that.
Oh, maybe get those guys under your wing and keep a little closer tabs on them.
Yeah, it would just seem like this
before.
Would be a good time to ensure that everything is on the up and up as well, right?
Look, everything you say makes sense. I don't know that it makes a difference, though, in the quality of the officiating. I truly don't. Were the guys in the NFC Championship game full-time referees? The guys who missed the most blatant pass interference call in the history of NFL playoffs? Were they full-time?
Pete Morelli.
Pete Morelli's on the list, yeah. Jerome Boger's a full-timer.
Brett
Allen's a full-timer.
Show everyone Pete Morelli.
John Perry.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is you know, how is this going to affect the quality of the officiating? Well, the officiating still sucks. Even with full-time guys, so you put it back to part-time.
But if you're trying to make it better, and this is
So, but you're saying that they're not going to make a difference, or you're saying that like this isn't a contract ploy then by the owners?
I'm saying that if as a fan you feel that this is somehow going to further diminish the quality of the officiating in the NFL.
No, it won't.
No, it's not going to make a difference.
You know, like in the games this year, I don't think it's going to make a difference. But The NFL talked about doing this for years, and they finally got to a point where they said, you know what, let's try and do something to make it better. Let's try this, and let's make this a part of our program, and let's invest some money into it, and let's have full-time people that work for us and have a real commitment to our officiating. Let's foster a culture of full-time officiating and have this be full-time gigs that people are really focused on what it is that this job is, where there's real true like leadership in our officiating, guys that help train new officials. Let's be better. That was the NFL. After people pushed them and prodded them for years to be better, they finally agreed to be better. And then they get into contract talks and they say, you know what? F it. We don't want to be better anymore because we're in a fight about your contract. No more full time. And it's like, well, do you care about being better or not? Or do you just care about, again, the 10 cents you're trying to save on these positions in your $15 billion a year business? You're trying to save how much? What? A couple $100,000 on these jobs? Here you go again. The NFL, once again, do they care about anything? Do they care about anything?
Well, they tried for what, 5-6 years? And it was too hard.
This?
Yeah.
It just started last year, last season.
So when did, but the lockout ended in?
It didn't start. It didn't start until last year.
Oh,
they're less than a year into this.
The full-time
actually, employees. 2017, they had a minimal number, and then they added a bunch of guys last year.
Last year was the first in full swing. It started last year.
So they agreed to do it back when the lockout ended in 2012.
Oh, I don't think it even agreed to it then, though, did they?
2017.
They agreed to it then. So they agreed to it 2 years ago, and they really ramped it up last season.
So they tried for,
tried in earnest for less than a year.
A full season, though. They tried.
80% are still part-time. 20% were full-time.
Yeah.
So they didn't try.
And now because, we're in contract talks, we're going to stick it to you. Now we're not trying anymore.
But they've stated that the source, according to Kevin Seifer, who reported this for ESPN, says that they could reinstate this at any point.
Of course, because they'll just do that when we get our way. Because it's not about the betterment of the league and what's the right thing. It's about my checkbook and the 10 cents I want to save. They're clipping a coupon on referees right
now. How can you not justify the cost of full-time officials when you have...
Because they suck! Because it's the NFL!
Thousands of NFL employees that are employed year-round. Teams employ people year-round. Radio stations employ play-by-play guys year-round. But the NFL can't figure out a way to employ officials on a full-time basis because it just doesn't make sense on the numbers.
Awesome league, isn't
ponderous.
It? What a league. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. That is the number. You want to jump on board about that, feel free. I want to get to the trade last night in the NBA. The Celtics should be relieved. I'll tell you why. Ooh. Next.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
So we were talking in the back room.
Yeah.
This is Sopranos related, this song. Is it the end of an episode during the end credits? They play Van Morrison, Glad Tidings.
It's a Johnny Sack thing, right? Because it's New York. It has to involve New York.
It's not an opening credit.
Well, no, it's not an opening credit because they play the Sopranos theme song.
No, but there's a
end
lot of
credit.
No, but there's songs that are played at the openings of episodes, even though it's not an opening. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They played Gloria at the start of Pine Barrens when Tony's on the boat with the girlfriend.
All due respect.
That would be Van Morrison's version of Gloria. I don't want to have to get in a fight with a listener again over that.
The song played over the end credits is Glad Tidings by Van Morrison. It was also played earlier when Christopher talks to Silvio at a Roy Rogers, and later during a scene when Tony B arrives at Uncle Pat's farm shortly before his murder.
What episode? Season? Number? Tell me.
65th episode. Finale of the show's fifth season. All due respect.
There you go. Can we move on now?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's one where Tony kills the other Tony.
Tony Blundetto.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he goes up there and kills his cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uncle Pat's farm. He blows him away on the porch. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot of Sopranos on this show lately.
Well.
Never a bad thing.
We all ended up watching it again within the last year or so.
Never a bad thing.
Why? What is it that you wanted to talk about?
I want to talk about this NBA trade. Yeah, I know. It's sports. Sorry. Russell Westbrook got traded last night.
Yeah. And you say this should be happy news for the Celtics.
It's a relief. He stayed in the Western Conference. Keep him out west. The West is great. The West will win. All of that. Right? The West will win. The West is the conference. The West is the NBA. Let's just say that. The West is the NBA. The East is the minor leagues. That's what it is. And the Celtics are in the minor leagues, unfortunately. But you start introducing some of that major league talent over to the minor leagues, well, then the climb, it just makes it even harder. So at this point, keep all the great players over in the West. And if you're the team that gets one of the great players, then good for you. The only time you want any great players coming to the East now is if they're coming to your team.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them going anywhere else.
And as long as they're not going to Memphis, it keeps pushing that chance of that pick being better.
Right, exactly. That would be horrible. But the only team you want anybody going to in the East right now is Boston, and that's it. And so when you see a trade happen and you see a great player move, you just hope they stay out West no matter where they go. Just stay out West. Don't come East. And he didn't. He got traded to another Western Conference team. What a relief. Stay out there.
So I would say this, Peter.
Stay out there in the major leagues.
The Rockets now put themselves truly into the conversation. We wanted to include them before when we were talking about Western Conference teams. Seems like the Clippers and the Lakers are the two right now. Golden State, you still have to give them consideration, but obviously a lot of changes taking place there. Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, do you make it a full-on three-team conversation out West right now, or is it somehow staggered differently?
Well, when you say, do I make it a three team? I don't want to put them in the same class, but they're another really good team that's in that mix.
Okay.
I want to see how these playoff series look. Don't you?
Oh, yeah.
The Western Conference playoffs are going to be ridiculous.
The Warriors might be 7-8 or out of the playoffs.
It's going to be unbelievable.
I mean, don't forget, Utah got better. They got Mike Conley, right?
Utah is good.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Denver.
Portland's good.
Denver's good. Portland's good.
Portland was in the conference finals this year.
There's a lot of good teams out there.
I don't know. I'm never going to rule out the Spurs until they actually win like 20 games one year.
I'm sorry, but there are just good teams everywhere out there. There's just tons of good teams out West.
And somebody is going to fall off. Somebody is not going to perform to expectations. Fine. We know that all too well in Boston after what happened here last season.
And in the East, you've got the Bucks and you've got the 76ers and then you've got everybody else. And, you know, are the Celtics the third team? Yeah, they're in the mix of a bunch of teams that are like fighting for who you can consider the third best team.
But to think that the Golden State Warriors could still have Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, and we're talking about that as a realistic possibility that they are a high seed in the playoffs in terms of like 7 or 8, or
well, no, without Klay Thompson's going with the ACL, he's going to be out most of the year.
Oh, that's right, Klay Thompson's going to be.
That's why. If they had Thompson, it'd be a different story.
He's hurt.
That's true.
But he could be back for the playoffs.
That's right. I keep forgetting that. It's not. It wasn't just Durant. Yeah, it's not enough. I don't think it's enough to with
and they got rid of Iguodala. They got rid of Sean Livingston, a lot of their role players.
We're going to get to your calls on this because there's something else that's really interesting about this, and that is, and it ties back to the Celtics. The Rockets just sort of throwing all like team building mentality and team building from a basketball standpoint, not a chemistry standpoint, basketball wise, just the idea of acquire stars. We don't care who they are, how they fit, how we are going to put this together. Position wise, doesn't matter. Are they stars? Can they score? Doesn't matter if they are ball dominant. Do they hog the ball? Do they want to have it at all times? Do they want to score? We don't care. We just want to have them if they're good and they're a name and they're a star. The Rockets are doing that. And it's the type of thing that I think a lot of people would love to see the Celtics do. And is this going to work? And are you rooting for it to work? Because I know I sort of am. It's just, it's a star bleeping type of team there that the Rockets are putting together. And so I want to see them have some success. Yeah, it's a bit of a casual fan mentality there in Houston. But we'll get to it. 617.
You can have it. It's in a different conference. You can be a casual fan of the Western Conference.
I'm
going to
be a casual Rockets fan if you don't mind.
Sure, why not?
Let's talk about that and how that relates to the Celtics. We'll do it next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It is a relief. It's a relief that the talent stays in the Western Conference. That's all I get to say. Relief. But what a star-bleeping team those Rockets are. They just, if there's a star available, they want him. Let's get him. Oh, star? Yeah. Put him on the team. Yep, we'll take him. Russell Westbrook?
Nope.
Yep. We want him.
See, Russell Westbrook, I think. Chris Paul? When they hit Chris Paul?
Star. We want him.
That was a star bleeping maneuver.
They just want stars.
Yep.
That's all they want. I mean, how does this work when you put Russell Westbrook and James Harden together? How does that pairing work? I mean, I don't understand that. They both want the ball.
They're going to have to figure it out, Beal.
It's going to diminish one of the two players. One of them will not be able to be their full selves, right?
But it's not working with James Harden being his full self. It's not working for the Rockets. And it's not going to work against the Lakers and probably the Clippers. So they got to do something, and they're going to have to figure it out. I understand that they both want the ball as much as possible, but there's got to be a configuration there that will make them better than what they were last year.
Dan Walken, USA Today, writes this today. He says, from a basketball standpoint, pairing a ball-dominant guard in Harden with a ball-dominant guard in Westbrook doesn't make a lot of sense on the surface. From a chemistry standpoint, it would seem to hold the potential for disaster. And yet, what other choice did the Rockets have? Oh, I don't know. Not doing the deal. That's what I would say. He writes, in a sense, this trade fits both the ethos of general manager Daryl Morey, who has relentlessly chased superstars with little regard for their personality fit, and an owner in, how do you say, Tillman? It's
Fertitta.
Fertitta.
The old UFC guys, right?
Yeah. Tillman Fertitta, whose promises of major change for the Rockets after last season's second-round playoff meltdown made a lot more sense when you remember that his first big foray into sports came as a blustery college football booster at the University of Houston. With Harden's window still wide open at the age of 29, which is remarkable that he's not even 30 yet, by the way, because it feels like he's been around a long time. He says this was the time to go for it. This was the time to dump the 34-year-old Paul off on someone else before the 2021 and 2022 seasons, when he'll make a combined $85.5 million. As his physical decline accelerates, this was the time to use whatever assets the Rockets had to add a second superstar whose prime lined up more closely with Harden's. But ultimately, we still have this major question about Houston. Does swapping Paul for Westbrook solve the Rockets' fundamental problem? And it's just, again, star, pure talent, throw him in the mix. Let's see what happens. And I sort of like it. It's not necessarily smart.
It's not your team.
It's not my team. It's not smart, but I sort of root for it just in the sense that we're always yelling and screaming and clamoring for stars. Get the stars. Get the stars. You need stars. You need stars to win in this league. Well, this is a true test of do stars win? Because the pieces don't really fit, but it's stars, and it's undoubtedly a talented team with these two guys on it. Can they be successful? Can they figure it out? And if they do, well, then we can keep yelling and screaming about getting stars. That's what we can keep doing. And that's why I'm becoming a casual Rockets fan. And because, I don't know, I just don't have any interest in rooting for those teams in LA. That's why. Out West. If I need a Western Conference team, this is the one I'm glomming onto.
Oh, no. I mean, doesn't matter who the Lakers have. The Lakers could get Larry Bird out of retirement, and you're
right.
Not going to root for them. So
I'm not rooting for the Lakers.
Scratch that one off the list.
That's obviously non-starter. Okay, we're not talking about the Lakers. There's no way I'm rooting for the Clippers. I'm not rooting, okay? I'm not rooting.
Who does root for the Clippers,
give me
by
a break.
The way?
Clippers.
Who roots for the Clippers?
Nobody.
Who's a lifelong Clippers fan?
I don't know
fan?
Who the Clippers fans are.
I don't either.
Where do they find
I've
them?
I've never met one.
So, Lakers? Ha. Clippers? No. Warriors? No thanks. What are we going to do? Denver? Utah? Boring. Boring. Rockets. Okay.
Not Portland.
I like James Harden. I actually like James Harden a lot. Oh.
I mean, I like watching him. The suspect defense, I'll say it as kindly as I can, makes him a hard guy to root for. But I like watching him. I like watching his offense.
In fact, he travels all the time, makes him hard to root for.
Yeah, get over it.
Please. There's carrying the ball.
I enjoy watching James Harden.
I know what you're talking about, Jim, and I've watched compilations of his
triple step.
Yes! You don't enjoy that?
No.
Come on. Have a little fun, Jim. Have a little fun when you watch sports.
You want to have some fun? You're not Tillman Fertitta? You know what his name has come up on the show before? Tom remembered this.
I don't remember this.
You want me to play it?
Sure.
Tom, I know how much you like being badgered here on your own program, and we have some good news to let our fans
on.
Tillman Fertitta, the owner of Landry's Corporation, who sponsors our show, Mastros and Mortons, has informed us that once again he will be our sponsor next season. So we get to put you up there and roast you all season long, just like the beautiful tenderloins, ribeyes, and beautiful fillets at the steakhouses.
And nobody can do that like you do that to me. So understand that. And we're very grateful. And what a great surprise. Thanks for sharing that with me. And thank you to Tillman for his continued support. And I know we'll do a great job as we continue into next year.
See that? Brady's rooting for the Rockets, too. So TB12's rooting for the Rockets. I'm rooting for the Rockets. That's my Western Conference team.
Our thanks also go out to Tillman Fertitta.
Yep.
Everybody at the Landry's Corporation.
Keep that handy. Thank you. Great memory, T-Bone. Great job. Excellent job. Let's go.
He was also the UFC guy. Him and his brother had the UFC. They got billionaires. They became billionaires.
All right, let's get back to your calls. I promise. I see you waiting. Let's do it right after this.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Let's go right back to your phones. Promise, Chris is in Hartford. He wants to talk about Kyrie Irving. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Beetle. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen. I've been waiting for this call. I called the Monday after the free agent. You were on vacation. You skipped me, man. You took off because in February, I don't know if you remember the conversation, yeah, you told me
ducking
I was
him, Beetle.
Dead wrong.
Hello? Chris, don't hang up on me. What do you got?
Dead wrong.
Oh, dead wrong. Okay, what did I say?
Danny Ainge was going to do whatever he could to keep Kyrie Irving. He couldn't even move Rozier at the deadline to give a signal to Kyrie. He didn't move Tatum. He didn't do anything because you know why? Because he didn't want Kyrie, and Brad Davis would not be the coach. Davis would have said bye-byes.
Wait, Brad Stevens?
You got that right.
Hold on. All right, hold on, Chris. Back up a little bit.
Hey, so what's going on?
So Danny Ainge, you're saying, ultimately didn't want Kyrie here.
You told me that they would do whatever, ever Beadle it took.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything. They didn't even move the backup point guard that was bothering their star. Because Stevens didn't want to coach him. And Ainge knew that he was not going to be sticking around.
Chris, I think you're right, and I don't think they did enough to keep him. I think I was wrong. I don't think they did enough. I don't think they went all out, and I think they could have done more. And if they were going to sell out for Kyrie Irving, they didn't. They didn't sell out. They could have. They chose not to. And that could have involved really, they could have moved Terry Rozier at the deadline if they wanted to, if they wanted to sell. It would have made their team worse, though, in the short term. Like, that would have impacted your depth. But that would have been selling out for Kyrie. That would have been, you know, wrecking your short-term team for Kyrie long-term. And I don't know.
Can we call it doing a Morey?
A what?
A Morey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Daryl Morey. Yeah, doing a Daryl Morey. I just don't know that the Celtics philosophically are open to doing things like that. But if that's your complaint, you're not wrong to say that. You're not wrong, Chris. I'll tell you this, by the end, it just felt like they were done with him, though. That they didn't want to do everything possible. They weren't begging him to stay at the end. Did it feel like when they hit the month of June or they hit the end of the season, they were begging him to stay? It didn't feel that way by the end.
You got that right.
Well, Danny Ainge had told Toucher and Rich that they were, you know, there was good communication back and forth with Kyrie.
I don't buy that.
Well, I mean, it's not like he was, he wasn't ghosting them, was, you know,
yeah, I buy
how
the
it was portrayed. I think it was a foregone conclusion that he was leaving. I think in ways that maybe we didn't know about or in ways that they just came to believe that, it, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to get rid of Terry Rozier because he butts head with Kyrie in an effort to get Kyrie to stay when we know almost to a certainty that Kyrie is leaving? And then we'll be without Terry Rozier, who we might end up needing.
No, but the Celtics have always had this reputation of being sort of cutthroat and being, you know, they'll sell out for the star and they'll do whatever it takes. And Danny doesn't care about your emotions and he doesn't care about hurting people's feelings. That tone has sort of changed here in recent months. Now they care about getting good character guys and they care about coming to work and feeling good about the people they work with. They've said it themselves. And it feels good when you do it with people you like. Well, when did that become a valued thing around here?
It's also different selling out for the star before you know the star in and out like they do Kyrie Irving now. Maybe they feel differently about selling out for a guy after knowing him for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was all about Banner 18 and you do it at all costs. I thought that's what the Celtics were all about because that's what they preached. And that's how they've acted for a long time. But now all of a sudden it's about getting the good guys. And, oh, Kemba Walker's a good guy. Well, I'm sure he is. Great. Well, he's not as good as Kyrie Irving. I hate to put that on a guy.
Isaiah Thomas is a good guy, too, but they chose Kemba Walker over Isaiah Thomas because he's more talented.
Well, they chose Kyrie Irving over Isaiah Thomas.
No, but what I'm saying is Kyrie's out the door. There's a bunch of good guys out there. They took the most talented good guy.
Right, but you're still choosing a good guy. The better analogy is you had Isaiah Thomas. You moved on from Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. You would have done that. Take the injury out of it. They would have done that even without the hip injury for Isaiah. They would have done that. They would have done that deal if he was completely healthy. Isaiah for Kyrie. They would have done the deal because Kyrie was the more talented player and the better player. Right? We all assume that. Would they do that deal now? Even if they didn't know anything about Kyrie.
If they didn't know anything about Kyrie, yes.
No. Not, understand me.
I don't know if the guy's going to torpedo a season.
No. Take Kyrie out of it. Another deal. If another deal came along, right, where they can now trade Kemba Walker for another player, not Kyrie Irving himself.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a better player?
They're going to take a talented player. Yeah,
would
probably.
They?
I think so.
Would they if there's the risk that he's not a good guy? I don't know.
I don't think they've changed that far.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, they're talking about how they need good guys now.
Great. They want good guys, but the good guys that I, from what I've seen, Carson Edwards is a good guy, but he can also hit shots. And Grant Williams is a good guy, but he can also hit shots.
Well, the Celtics play in the minor leagues now. So they're in the Eastern Conference, and they're not even the best team in the Eastern Conference.
You can do all sorts of promotions then.
They've fallen a big, big way in the last couple of months.
Play basketball.
A year ago at this time, we were talking about, can the Celtics be in the NBA Finals, and will they have a shot against Golden State? Will they have a chance to win the Finals? Now we're talking about, can they get out of the Eastern Conference? And if they do, how badly would they get beaten in the NBA Finals? You know, would they have a shot to win a game? But really, it's more about, do they even have a shot to get out of the East? Which is the minor leagues of the NBA.
But it's not that much. Most of the talent is there, but there's no, like, trios anymore. It's all two guys. Two guys here, two guys there, two guys there.
They've fallen in a big way. It's been a big fall in the last calendar year for this team.
I mean, what they're left with is a decent core to start building with once again. It's just unfortunate because you had it put together. You had it. You had Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford. You had really, really good pieces around them between Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. You had presumably everything you would need to become an Eastern Conference powerhouse, and you couldn't keep it together because of what?
But
what caused it to fall apart? Is that Kyrie was never going to stay in the first place, or was it just the one season that fell below expectations?
The one season, they lost two players, and everybody else got better. And you got worse. And now we're doing things like this. Bob in Wakefield. Bob.
Hello. I just want you to know you guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
And I just want, this is my feeling. I think the Celtics are on a rebuild. Do you guys agree with that?
They're in a building phase. I don't know if I'd go full rebuild, but yeah, they're building something.
I mean, I'm saying that because we lost three-fifths of our best offensive starting lineup. You know, Kyrie, Al, and Aaron. I mean, I wanted to talk about Robert Williams III, and I wanted to talk about Taco Fall. For me, I'd like to see Robert Williams III as a starting power forward. I'd like to see, you know, Enes Kanter as a starting five. Put Robert Williams III as a starting power forward, and then you could have Taco coming off as the five on the bench, and then Grant Williams as the backup four.
So that would mean that Robert Williams, Taco Fall, Grant Williams, and also Enes Kanter. Oh, Cantor's in the starting five. All those guys are getting significant minutes.
Yeah, because I mean
okay. Well, I needed to know.
Well, you got that right.
Beetle, you have to wrap your head around the notion of, and this is new to a lot of people,
okay,
positionless basketball.
And that's where the Celtics are at, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not where they're at.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a Celtics fan. That's a Celtics fan.
That's a Celtics fan that's putting two of Tatum, Hayward, Brown, and Smart on the bench.
That's the more important part of all that, Jim, and thank you. It's like, wait a second. So who's going to be sitting?
Two of Tatum, Hayward, Brown,
Listen, he's
and Smart.
Talking bigs, man. He wants Taco to get minutes.
This is how they built their roster. They have a bunch of wings, and one of the big guys needs to work out. They have one they can rotate through. Matchups, however you're going to do it.
Yep.
Everything is awesome.
And Tatum has to play power forward,
Everything
unfortunately.
Everything is awesome. Give Taco his minutes. Give Kanter his minutes. Mm. How fast before Celtics fans turn on Kanter?
Well, I don't think he's going to play enough for the people to turn on him.
Well, how long before they get tired of him, watching him?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the rotating position. That's going to be your flavor of the game. Whatever matchup it is, it's going to be Tice, Kanter, it's going to be Williams. I don't think Taco Fall is going to play more than 3 minutes a game
I don't think you're going to see Taco Fall because I don't think he's going to be on the roster.
Yeah, it's highly likely. But if somebody wants to sign him and they say, no, we need to keep this guy for the future, we're going to stash him as the 15th guy, he's going to be either a DNP or he's going to be a couple minutes if they play a big guy and he gives them defense a couple minutes.
The Celtics are going to need to score 140 points a night to win their games because defensively they're so damaged.
Poor Taco. Being set up for failure. It's unfair.
I hope that's what they're going to need. They're going to need to average like 150 a night. Just keep scoring buckets because you're going to need them all. You're going to need a million points every game. Because Cantor, I mean, he is a liability among liabilities. I mean, he is going to stand out on a team of defensive liabilities.
That's Grant Williams is getting beaten summer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.